This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Glenn the Geek here on this Wednesday, October the 28th, episode number 1287. As you know, we are traveling this week, so we are bringing you some recorded programming, some new, and some we're revisiting from the past. Well, today we are going to revisit an episode from 6/18/2014 called Getting to Know the Hosts. And here is where we get to know some of the non-horse side of myself and Jamie and Jennifer. We did this series across all of the different shows here on the Horse Radio Network, and we have so many new listeners, I thought you might appreciate this episode. Tomorrow we have for you Mary Kitzmiller, a brand new episode from Mary Kitzmiller that will be put out on the recorded stream, and we'll be live again next Tuesday when we arrive back here at Ocala, but until then, we got some great shows for you, and we're putting them out on the recorded stream where you can listen to on all your favorite players of the app or iTunes or on the website. So take a listen. We think you'll enjoy this show from 2014. Well, we have something a little bit different for you today, as we've been promoting all over the last couple of weeks. It was Philip's idea from the Dressage Radio Show to do a Getting to Know the Hosts segment on every one of our shows, where we do an Inside the Actor Studio type of interview with each one of the hosts. Only this time, we're not asking horsey questions. We're trying to find out about the other half of their lives and things that you didn't know about the hosts. And I actually conducted most of the interviews, and I found out things I didn't know about the hosts. So we are going to present to Jennifer, Jamie, and I today, so you'll get to hear all three of us do our interviews. I interviewed Jamie, Jamie interviewed Jennifer, and Helena from the Stable Scoop radio show interviewed me. So kind of a special treat for you. It was a lot of fun. We learned stuff about each other, and I'm sure that the regular listeners will especially like learning a little bit more about the other side of our lives here at Horses in the Morning. We want to thank Back on Track Products for being the title sponsor today. We're going to hear from them, and then on to the first interview is going to be with Jamie, then Jennifer, and then myself. If you've heard of my interview over on one of the other shows, then you can skip the last half of the last third of the show, but you'll want to listen to the other two. I haven't even heard Jennifer's yet, so I can't wait to hear that myself. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. We have another episode planned for you, and we will have the NATRC, the North American Trail Ride Conference, will be joining us again with a show about trail riding that we do every single month. So we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for that, and then a very special show for you on Friday as Jennifer presents a all really bad ads episode. That's right. The entire hour and a half full of really bad ads. That's coming up on Friday. So enjoy this little piece from all of us. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. Well, I am here with Jamie doing our Getting to Know the Hosts month here in the month of June on the Horse Radio Network. And Jamie, it's your turn. And you know,
Oh my gosh.
I feel like I know you so well because we've done this show together for 900 episodes. But yet I have learned something about every one of the hosts, and I've known Helena for 12 years. So it's going to be fun to find
out. I don't know. I talk so much about myself that I really don't think I'm going to surprise you at all.
I'm a pretty good interviewer, though, so we'll find out.
Oh, we'll find out then.
All right, here we go. So these questions are in no particular order. They're very random. And at the end of the interview, we will do the 10 questions that James Lipton asks inside the actor studio of everybody. So the rapid-fire questions.
The thing that, full disclosure here, I was too nervous to do this, and I said no, because I'm not good at, like, pop questions like this. So Glenn did send me a list ahead of time so I could think about the answers. And what's really sad is that even with time to think about the answers, these are the things that my answers are bad. I mean, it's bad.
And now what I haven't told any of the hosts before we started is I asked none of the questions that are actually on the list I sent you.
No way. That's not funny. I'm a nervous wreck.
So do you remember your first date? Who was it and where was it? I mean, a first official date. We all did the group thing, you know, but I meant like pick you up and go somewhere.
Yeah. You know what? I have pored over this question and I cannot remember me. I cannot remember for the life of me who my first date was and where we went. I can't remember who it was. Of course, I can't remember where it was. I don't even know how old I was. I don't even remember where I was living. I have no clue about the answer to that question at all.
Now, were your parents real strict about not dating till a certain age or anything?
My father said that I was not allowed to date until I was 37. So I'm a little ahead of schedule.
I can see him saying that too.
I'm 36. So, and I've got a kid. So I did jump the gun a little bit, but no, he was like a total a-hole about everything. Oh yeah. That's probably because I blocked it out because he was such a jerk about it. Like, I remember that if there was a guy that were to show up at my house and honk the horn, I was not allowed to go outside. They had to come to the door and get me, and I was not allowed to get in that car unless they opened the door for me.
Did he have a ritual or a test he put him through before?
You know, that's all I can remember, Glenn. My life as a teenager was pretty bad, hectic at that point in my life, I should say, between parents divorcing and all this. That's probably why I've blocked everything out. So...
Okay, so let's move on then. What was your first job?
My first job. Oh, gosh, this is embarrassing. I was a...
Okay, I know you weren't a stripper, so it can't be that bad.
No, it's worse. I was a delivery driver for the Philly Connection. I was a delivery driver of cheesesteaks. I drove around and delivered cheesesteaks as a vegetarian to college students in Decatur. What a horrible job. You know what? I still tip delivery drivers excessively because I did it, and it's awful. Please tip your pizza guy heavily.
Oh,
it's
you must
a terrible
have come
job.
Across some weird situations as a delivery. I always wonder what kind of weird situations they walk into.
Dude, that you never know what's behind that door. It's funny. I block out my first date, but I can remember almost every weird thing that happened to me at the Philly Connection. Okay, and when you deliver a cheesesteak, like, that's kind of one of those things you should eat immediately.
Yes,
because the bread, by the time I would deliver these cheesesteaks, like the moisture had soaked through the paper, and it was just like I would have to hold the bottom of the bag because it would fall through. It was so disgusting. I'm like, you know what? Get off your lazy butt and go pick up your cheesesteak. Seriously, eat it in the store. It's disgusting.
Now, when did you become a vegetarian?
I was 9 when I became a vegetarian.
Really? Usually it's a little older, isn't it? Teenage girl goes, okay, I'm going to rebel and not eat meat.
Yeah, I was like, I remember somebody handed me a steak, and it was rare, and I cut into it, and I was like, what's all this red stuff? And they were like, oh, that's blood. Whether it is or not, that's what they told me. And I said, okay, I'm done. And I never ate meat again.
Really? Did your parents think it was just a phase and that you'd get over it and all that?
My mother made me eat chicken until I was 11. And then when I was 11, she was like, you will eat chicken. And I was 11, I was like, you can't make me eat anything. And she was like, you know, basically like, you're right. So, I mean, we had battles of will at the dinner table. I would sit there for 3 hours. I don't care. But I don't have to go anywhere. I'll sit here. Sure. Why not?
So did she start making you special stuff or did you just have to suffer?
No, she didn't make anything special.
You were hoping that she made vegetables of some sort during dinner.
I just remember when I got my driver's license and I was a delivery driver for the Philly Connection, how much money and time I spent at Taco Bell. Like, Taco Bell was the go-to place.
And see, now that's funny because I think of Taco Bell, I think of their meat tacos, you know?
Bean burritos and 7-layer burritos with the guacamole. Oh, I'm sure it's poison and I don't go there anymore. But man, when I was a teenager, $59.79.99, that was the meals. Like that was how much they cost. I could make $3 last a long time on the 59-cent meal.
The rest of us were at Pizza Hut. You were at Taco Bell.
Yep. God, I'm hungry now. Now I want Taco Bell.
What's your fate? I have a question that actually ties into that first job you had delivering for the Philly. What was it? The Philly Connection. Is what was your first car?
Yeah, not very economical. I had an F-150.
You're the only one, by the way, that had a truck as their first car.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it was blue and it was so beat up. It was so beat up. It had dents all over it. And yeah, the F-150, I would make 50 cents a delivery. It was what the store paid me. And I think I would spend $8 in gas on every delivery. Not great.
What was the favorite place you have ever traveled? And I know you've traveled a little bit.
I have. Well, I never traveled until I got married or met Chad, and traveling is no big deal to him. So he actually took me to Rome, Italy, which is where he proposed. And so I think that's my favorite trip by far.
And where did he propose in Rome? Wait a minute. Do you remember?
You know, at that point I was kind of drunk, but the Piazza Navona in Rome, Italy, a beautiful fountain in a piazza, and it was just spectacular. I think we did talk about this, was that we're living together. I've moved across the country for him, and this guy takes me to Europe, and we go to the top of the Eiffel Tower. You know, we go on a boat ride in the Batamouche in France and Paris. We're touring Paris. We go to Rome. I go to every site that there is in Rome. And this jerk has not proposed. I mean, I'm waiting. I am waiting. Like we go to the top of the Eiffel Tower. I'm like, here it comes. We go on the boat ride. Midnight, they light up the Eiffel Tower and sprinkling lights. Our boat is right underneath it. I'm like, here it comes. Nope. We go to the, you know, where the gladiators have fought. And it was like this private tour we did. Here it comes. Nope. I swear to you, Glenn, I was losing my mind. The last night that we're in Europe, the last night we go to a dinner. It's like no big deal, just like a cheap dinner. I start crying because I am the a-hole who thought she was going to get engaged. Why? I mean, this guy takes me to Europe. And
you probably had told all your girlfriends before you left that you were getting engaged.
Oh, they were all like, he's going to propose to you.
You would have had to come home with your head between your legs.
It would have been horrible. Yeah. Like, well, I probably would have, everybody would have told me to break up with him. Like, what a jerk. Who takes you to Rome and doesn't propose? So the last night we're walking back to our hotel and I don't know. We got lost somehow. Of course, I was lost all the time. I had no clue where I was. And I start crying. And we are making our way towards Piazza Navona. Unbeknownst to me, he's about to propose. And I start crying, like the ugly cry. Like, I can't believe it. Like, come all the way to Rome and you ever propose.
Did you tell him why you were crying?
Oh, totally. There's no way around it.
God,
I am
Chad
sobbing.
Should have just left you there and run.
He's like, He's like, I should have proposed on day one. He's like, I ruined your trip to Europe. I just ruined it.
So what was he thinking?
I don't know. He just, he says he wasn't nervous, but I think it was a little bit of nerves. And I think it was just like trying to find the right moment. And finally, I think he just realized like he passed the time. And I mean, you know, I'm crying and stuff. So anyway, he had it in his pocket the whole entire time.
Are you sure he hadn't bought it like at a jewelry store right beside the pizza place you ate at?
Right? Exactly.
when he realized that he screwed up.
Hey, I'm like, you had it in your pocket on top of the Eiffel Tower? And he was like, yeah, but I heard Tom Cruise propose to Katie Holmes on top of the Eiffel Tower. I was not going to propose to you on top of the Eiffel Tower. Sorry, this is a long answer.
That was Let's funny, move. Though. Okay. Well, that was the best answer I've gotten yet. I'll give you an easy one, okay, for the next one. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is blue.
Every single one of my co-hosts.
Really?
Every single one.
Well, what's your favorite color?
Except for Wendy, who said it's purple, but that's only because everybody calls it the Purple Princess, but her real favorite color is blue. You have to wait till later in the show to see what mine is.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait.
All right. Your favorite TV show of all time?
Oh, this is a tough one because I was such a huge fan. I used to rush home to see Black Beauty when I was a kid, but I don't remember much of it. And I do remember, and I've watched all 7 seasons 4 times, okay? 4 times I've watched this show from its episode number 1 till the end. And I've watched the last episode probably 40 times because I love it. Lost is
really?
My favorite TV show. Oh my God, I was obsessed with it. Obsessed.
Huh. I would not have guessed that.
What would you have guessed?
I don't know. We've talked, but see, we only ever talk about TV shows that are on now. I didn't know you went, you know, past 3 years ago. So I don't know what I would have guessed. I know that it wouldn't have been something I ever watched or liked because we have nothing in common with TV.
You're like, that show sucks. I've never seen
I never saw an episode, to be honest with you.
Oh, so good.
Favorite movie of all time?
See, you sent this to me, Glenn. You sent me the favorite movie of all time, and I couldn't just name one. So I made a top 10 list.
Jeez.
Because the favorite movie of all time is, it just depends on what's on at the given moment.
Let's start at number 10 and work our way to 1.
Well, they're not even numbered specifically. Okay. I'm just going to go from top to bottom and just let you know what they are because I think you get more of a sense of who I am.
Okay. All right. As if anybody that listens to this show has any doubt.
No. They're learning about me just like you are. Okay. So obviously The Man from Snowy River and Return to Snowy River top the list. There is nothing I like more than an Australian galloping on a buckskin kissing a girl. I mean, it's awesome. If you haven't seen that, you must see that. Man from Snowy River and The Return to Snowy River, even though they're totally different and both now, as I get older, a little ridiculous. But they're so good.
Okay.
The rest of the movies, I'm going to start with Pride and Prejudice, the Keira Knightley version. I'm a huge Jane Austen fan. Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility, both movies, very, very good. The Sense and Sensibility, they kind of went off the book a little bit. But those two, a horse movie made the list, Seabiscuit with Tobey Maguire. Oh, my gosh. I love that movie. I cry like 4 or 5 times in the movie every time I watch it. I'm a huge Hugh Grant British movie fan. So Notting Hill and Love Actually are both on the list. Notting Hill, Love Actually. Sixth Sense, it's the scariest movie I can watch, and I love that movie.
We agree with that one, by the way.
Really?
I love that. And that music just sticks in my head to this day.
When he's like, let me show you where my dad keeps his gun. I screamed in the theater when he turned around and you could see like his head. Oh, so awful. I love the movie Sleepless in Seattle. Anything with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. So good. And then my final one is an Audrey Hepburn movie, Roman Holiday. Oh, the look she gives the camera at the end of that movie just rocks your world. It was that or there was a couple movies vying for the final spot. But Roman Holiday with Audrey Hepburn takes it.
All right. I think I've seen 3 of those. So
Oh my gosh.
I actually saw some of them.
so, You've never seen Sleepless in Seattle?
Yes, I have seen Sleepless.
Oh, finally.
Yes, I have seen that one. Yep. It was a good movie. I'll agree with you on that. Worst trouble you got in growing up. And believe me, everybody has to listen to the other host answers to be enlightened on some of these.
You know, I didn't get caught for much, but I do remember getting caught sneaking out. I snuck out, and true to form, I had some like older dude pick me up, and I was with a girlfriend, and she and I snuck out of the house. And of all places and all things to do when you sneak out, what did we do? We went to Waffle House. So lame.
Everybody goes to Waffle House.
It was, and I think it was like 10:30. It wasn't even like it was 2 a.m. I didn't even wait till my parents went to sleep. How stupid. I went out the front door at 10:30. I probably came home around 11:30. Woo, I'm wild and crazy. And I remember walking, I had a really long driveway. And my girlfriend ditched me and like went on to the other Waffle House down the street. And I went home because I was a little nervous. And my dad was hiding behind a tree.
Oh, no. Is he a Southern Papa or what?
Oh, my God. And I will never forget the sound that his voice, like the chilling, ice cold. This is what he said. He goes, "I don't know if you're going to leave this house to even go to college." Like, I mean, oh, my God. I was scared.
Oh, and what was your punishment? You were grounded for 10
grounded.
Years.
I was grounded, actually. But, you know, my parents, like I said, in those teenage years, they were divorcing and it was turmoil in my house. But that is the only time I remained grounded for an entire 2 weeks.
You got grounded for going to the Waffle House.
Isn't that terrible? Like, I didn't even go to a party. My brother got brought home by the police and never got grounded. And I sneak out and go to Waffle House and it's the worst punishment ever.
Well, one of the trends that has happened, see, you get the advantage of being toward the end of me interviewing all the hosts and finding out about their lives. One of the trends that came up that I was not expecting is how many of them have had to take driving class because of multiple speeding tickets. So what kind of driver are you?
I refuse to answer this question so I don't jinx myself, Glenn.
Or have you had to take a driving class because of multiple speeding tickets?
I will not answer that question because I don't want to jinx myself. You know, honestly, if I get a ticket, if I answer this question and I get a ticket, will you pay it?
No, I'm not going to pay it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm in good shape.
Okay. How about your, I think
and
people
I'm superstitious.
Have, I've known you for a long time. We've done 900 shows together. And I don't think I know the answer to the next question is what's your favorite musical group?
Oh, my favorite band of all time is Coldplay. It changes between sense. U2 and Coldplay, but like Chad and I even danced to Coldplay at our wedding, one of our song. Yeah. So
that
love them. Sense. Never been to see them in concert ever. I actually had tickets to go to Coldplay and it was the day after Thanksgiving here in Phoenix. And Chad was like, "We've got to go see my family for Thanksgiving." And we didn't get back in time. And I'm still mad about it. I'm still mad about it.
Like the proposing on the last 10 minutes of your vacation to.
Yes. He knows us. They're both very sensitive subjects.
All right. Very good. Let's go next. We're going to go into Inside the Actor's Studio territory. Everybody's seen that show, I'm sure. James Lipton, who asked the final 10 questions, sort of the rapid fire round. So I'm going to ask you the same questions that he asks all of his celebrities that join
him.
What is your favorite word?
Amazing.
Yes, and we have heard that about a billion times on the show. So yes, okay.
It's rapid fire, Glenn. You don't get to make comments.
What is your least favorite word?
Ugh. I don't even like to say it. I hate the word panties.
What? Keep that for future reference. What turns you on?
Turn-ons. Sunset on a beach. Oh, my God. I love it.
What turns you off?
Mean people. Everybody should just be nice.
What sound or noise do you love?
I got it down to 2. I love it when you feed the horses. And there's that moment before you walk out the door in the barn when you listen to all the horses and they're all munching. I love that sound of peace and happy horses eating. And my other favorite is there is nothing that makes me happier than hearing the bell boots slap against the horse's hoof when you're at the dead gallop. Bam! On cross country. Love that noise.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Trotting down a road and hearing the clank of a loose shoe. Clip, 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 clank. Clip, 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 clank.
Do you hate that because you know it's going to cost you money? Or
no, it's just a pain. Get the trailer. Usually I had to get the trailer. Some sort of injury.
Now, this one I tried to guess, and I'm not sure. What is your favorite curse word?
You know, I didn't know what to answer this, and Chad actually told me the curse word that I say all the time. He's like...
I would guess the S word.
No. Nope. Apparently. And I didn't even know this. He was like, you know what you say all the time? Balls. He's like, you'll be like, oh, balls. Like, or I'll kick you in the balls. I don't know why. I don't know. I didn't even realize they say that all the time. He's like, balls.
What profession other than your own, if it was away from horses, okay, away from horses and radio, we'll put those two together, would you like to attempt?
Oh, see, I would want to be a veterinarian.
Yeah, I can see that. Yep, yeah. I can see that. What profession would you not like to do?
I really would not like to be a professional wrestler.
I don't know why that strikes me as so funny.
It's true.
You'd
it's
have to be true. In the short league.
There's a lot of reasons that I should not be a professional wrestler, Glenn.
That's a funny answer. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say on your arrival to the pearly gates?
Oh, I might cry. I would like God to say they have been waiting for you, and to turn around and see my dogs Brett and Morgan and my old horse Marche and my pet Happy, and to see Will and to see all those animals that have meant so much to me in my life, and to have them sitting there waiting on me when I get there.
At a heavenly version of Flyover Farm.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Jamie.
Oh, thank you. That was a lot of fun. Sorry if I took too long answering, but it was fun.
Jamie and I have been raving about the Equity Flex and Fork and Shake and Fork for months now, and some of you might be saying they are just saying all those nice things because they are getting paid to. Well then, let's hear from some other people about what they think. Here is Flex and Fork user Eric Bates, Pasofino owner from Kentucky, on their sturdiness.
I've been using the Flex and Fork for almost a year now. I looked it up on the internet as being a quality-made fork, and that's what I was looking for. I had already replaced two or three, you know, the manure forks that you would get at a farm supply store, and I wanted something of good quality that would last, and this has just been more than I could ever ask for.
With the Shake and Fork, you save time and money by just using this motorized fork every day. Here is Leslie from Horse Nation on how much bedding she is saving using the Shake and Fork.
It really does. It helps you sift through, you know, so you're not throwing out as much. I think Equity says that the forks probably save you $1 a stall per day in between bedding saved and labor, you know, time you're saving, and I believe them for sure.
And then there is our terrific listener, Aubrey, who cleans barns for a living, on how much time she saves with the Shake and Fork.
It's funny because you have to kind of slow down when you do it just because you have to let the fork shake for a second. And so it kind of took me a little while to say, okay, just slow down, because I tend to do them a little manically anyway just because I have so many to do. But you do them faster. Even though you're physically moving slower, you're doing the stalls faster. But a couple of the barns that I do use sawdust, and it's amazing how fast I can go through those barns. And it's pretty much cut down half, and I'm using so much less shaving, so it's going to end up saving a bunch of people a bunch of money in the barns that I do.
Okay, you've heard them. It's not just Jamie and I saying this. What are you waiting for? Go to equitymfg.com and get yours today. Equitymfg.com. You will thank us every single day.
Well, I'm sitting here with famed producer Jennifer Coach Jen, if you will, and we get to ask you all the same questions that all the hosts have been answering, and Glenn's not here, so you get to be totally 100% honest.
That's right. It's just you and me. Nobody else just was, you and me. Is ever going to hear this. That's right.
Nah. Nobody. He'll never know. He'll never know.
He'll never
because
know.
The first question, I'm curious, I didn't remember, but do you remember your first date, who and where?
I'm thinking this is a horse girl thing because I racked my brains and I do not remember.
Are you serious?
It must have been a great time because I don't remember at all.
Exactly. It must have been really forgettable. And yeah. That's really sad. Someday somebody's going to walk up to us and be like, remember me? I was the guy you first went out with, your first date. And I'll be like, who are you?
Yeah. To turn the tables, if someone were to ask either of us about the first time we ever met our first horse or pony, we'd remember that.
Oh my gosh. I can tell you what the temperature was that day.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, very true. Very true. So I guess it just depends. What is the favorite place you've ever traveled?
See, that's a hard one. I don't have a favorite, but the most unique. I put unique in there because it was a wonderful spot. We went to Nevada, went to Vegas, and we drove out to Red Rock Canyon. In Nevada. Oh, wow. That was pretty amazing. We had a great time all day. We saw wild burros wandering around. We got lost and accidentally drove into Area 51. That was pretty exciting. I liked that one.
Well, what was it like getting shot at?
We didn't get shot at, but we were driving along out there in our rental car. And we started,
you and Glenn?
Me and Glenn. And we started seeing these signs, stay away, et cetera, and barbed wire. And we're just driving slow going, oh, this is really cool, because you see it on the TV all the time. And up on the ridges, you'd see glimpses of the light reflecting off of binoculars.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And at one point, we stopped the car, and we wanted to take a picture of us in front of the signage. And just about the time we slammed the car doors closed and started walking over to the signage to take this picture, and this was before camera phones. So we had to take them separately. We couldn't take a selfie. Flying up over the, because it's really flat there, just barely a little ridge. We see this cloud of dirt. And obviously it's a motorized vehicle moving very fast. And we expected it to be a trooper of some sort. But no, it was this old broken down van pulling a pop-up camper. And it comes, and it just flew past us off into the distance towards the people with the binoculars.
Okay, for those who have seen Breaking Bad, that was what we call a meth van.
I didn't know if maybe he had dead alien bodies in that pop-up van or... But
I'm
we didn't
go
take the
meth.
Pictures. We just got back in our car and hightailed it out of there.
Oh, I gotta find out what the name of that van is. That's hilarious. But it was at least beautiful.
It is gorgeous out there, yeah.
Speaking of, what is your favorite color?
Green. All of its variety.
Okay. Your first job?
My first job was working for the famous Jane Sleeper.
Oh, wow. What did you do for Jane Sleeper?
Everything. I started out as a working student for a couple of summers, and then I went to work for her full-time when I graduated from high school. So I, trial by fire, my first job. Yeah. It was,
wow.
It was not a rated G job experience.
How old were you?
16 when I started.
Wow. Too young for some of the barn humor, probably.
Well, luckily for me, we had a colorful language palette at home. So a lot of it I had heard before.
So it was words you'd heard before.
It was words I'd heard before, but never from a female.
Where did you learn that, Dad? I learned it from watching Jane Sleeper.
That's right. It was a fantastic working experience. I learned more about myself than I did about riding.
No kidding.
Yeah, I learned a lot about riding. Don't get me wrong, but I learned a lot about myself. It was an invaluable experience, but I did not learn to appreciate it till much later.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the truth. Whenever I look back on stuff, I'm like, I should have appreciated that a little more. All right, what was the first car you ever owned that you took to work at Jane Sleeper's?
when I worked for Jane Sleeper, I did not have a driver's license. I was late to come to driving. I had to be shuffled around everywhere. But my first car, I was so proud of it, was a 1978 pumpkin orange Jeep Wagoneer.
Ooh, that's a hot car.
Yeah, it was a guy magnet.
Get into my pumpkin. Come on. Oh, that's hot.
It was a pumpkin, and I kept hoping it would turn into a Cinderella's carriage, and it never did. No.
Never did. Nope. And that Shetland pony you owned did not turn into an Andalusian either.
Never.
Let's see. Your favorite TV show of all time?
Oh, I suspect people who know me well will know exactly what I'm going to say.
Downton Abbey?
No, Star Trek.
Oh. Yeah. Now, which Star Trek? Are you a Next Generation? Are you an original?
Blasphemy! The original series.
Oh, Blasphemy. Next Generation. Hello. I guess we could argue about that for a while. What is your favorite band or musical group of all time?
I had to think about that. So I went to my Spotify list, and the person who takes up the most space on my Spotify list is, drumroll please, I'm the nerd, John Denver.
John Denver. Good God, I love this of John Denver. That's true. Country road, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama. Now, Glenn can edit all that out.
I had like 19 John Denver albums growing up.
Oh my gosh. What's the line from Dumb and Dumber? He's like, I thought the Rockies would be a little rockier. Yeah, that John Denver is full of beep. So funny. Okay. How did you first meet your spouse? I think we all know this.
Well, Glenn likes to tell a certain story.
Oh, you've got a better one.
No, it's the story. So I'll keep it short because everybody's already heard it before. But what he doesn't usually mention is the only reason I went to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair is it was a rainy day. And I worked at a stable. And the owner was tired and worn out in the middle of show season and said, oh, to hell with it. Take the day off because it was raining. So I drove 45 minutes back home to my folks' house from my work. I didn't live with the folks at the time, but I drove back and said, let's go to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. And I had to go with them because I was pretty damn sure my pumpkin orange Jeep Wagoneer would not make it to the Renaissance Fair.
Nice. So it was fate, though, that you, the guy gave you the day off. Did you ever tell him that you met your husband because he gave you the day off?
She was actually, I think we even invited her to the wedding.
No kidding. Aww.
Yeah. We had a great relationship with Barbara. She was my employer at the time. She was a great gal. And yes, because of her. And I actually got the following weekend off to go back to the Renaissance Fair because I told her I met a guy. And she said, oh, heck, go.
She's like, get out of here.
You're out of here. Yep. She had you a priority need straight.
You need a man.
Yep.
Favorite movie of all time?
This was a hard one. Oh, man. I waffled between two of them.
I did a top 10 list, Jennifer. So
top 10.
Name them both.
My top movie of all time is The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, gosh, that's a great movie.
It doesn't matter what mood you're in. You can be angry. You can be sad. You might need a good cry. You might need some entertainment. It doesn't matter. The Wizard of Oz always fits.
2 months ago, I held Lukey through that entire movie and sang all the songs to him in that movie. And Chad was like, how do you know the song? He's never seen The Wizard of Oz. Such
what?
A guy thing. I know.
Guy thing. And then my second on my list, just because I so appreciate it for every aspect of its technical prowess, WALL-E.
Really?
Yes.
I hated that movie.
How could you not like that movie? Fantastic story development. The animation was amazing. The soundtrack is fantastic.
I saw it on a plane.
Oh, well, see.
The only thing I could, it was crappy screen and all it did the entire time, WALL-E! WALL-E! And I'm like, shut up! This is annoying. So I saw it on a plane. So maybe on a real TV, I'd like it better.
I think you should give WALL-E another chance.
WALL-E. I would never have guessed that. Interesting. Now, worst trouble you got in growing up?
I don't know if I can do this. I've never told anybody this story.
This is going to be good.
This is an exclusive. Now, my mom, I'm sure, has told everyone this story because she just thinks it's awesome. But most trouble I ever got in growing up. I was one of those 4-H kids when I was little, before I discovered Pony Club. And there were six of us kids in the family, and we were all in 4-H, and we were all pretty rowdy, and we were those children whenever there were 4-H things.
Yeah.
We were the rampant ones. And the 4-H leaders had this brilliant idea that we would go to the Pennsylvania Farm Show, the largest indoor livestock exposition in the country, and the 4-H kids, the little ones, would do a demo. And I happened to have a little white pony. And my little white pony and I were going to be the Lone Ranger.
What was your little white pony's name?
The little white pony's name was... It's escaped me. SOB most of the time.
I had Snowflake, the little white pony.
You had Snowflake. What was his name? Stormy. His name was Stormy. Desert Storm.
Okay.
And before we got him, he was a racing pony. And he was a trotting racing pony. So he was hitched to a sulky to race before we got him.
Interesting.
Yes. So we're going to take him to a loud, crazy venue and make him go around the outside edge of a dirt arena quickly. Can you see where this is going?
Not well.
Well, long story short, we get there, we go in the ring, we do our thing. I was the first one in. Each kid had to come in, and each kid was dressed up as some famous fictional horse character. I was, the Lone Ranger. And I get in there, and my pony's ears prick up, and he takes off like a frickin' lightning bolt and leaves me behind after the first three steps and makes his way around the arena to do his two-minute mile. And before he had finished his two-minute mile, I had picked up my little cowboy hat and stomped out of the arena, leaving my pony behind.
So you got in trouble for that?
Oh, did I? I don't think I was allowed to be on that pony for at least a month. My mom was so mad at me.
Oh, boy.
Storm out of the arena without your pony. I was so utterly embarrassed because I'm a little shy of public displays anyway. Yeah. It was bad.
Oof.
Bad.
That's bad. Now, we're going to move, Jennifer, to the 10 questions. They're rapid-fire questions that James Lipton asked on Inside the Actor's Studio. Are you ready?
Okay, I've got an adult beverage. I'm good.
Okay. Jennifer, what is your favorite word?
Wow.
Wow.
It can mean anything. Wow. Wow.
I'm going to stop impersonating James Lipton now, by the way. Let's just keep going. Okay. Good one. What is your least favorite word?
Connections. They refer to racehorses and the people who are associated with those horses. They call them their connections. I hate that.
Interesting. Interesting. What turns you on?
Curiosity.
What turns you off?
Hubris.
What was that?
Hubris. Arrogance.
Okay. Mine is people that use really big words. So what sound or noise do you love?
Sunrise.
That's not a sound or noise.
Yes, it is. All the sounds that come with the sun coming up. It's fantastic.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Anger.
Okay. What is your favorite curse word?
See, am I allowed to say this? Do we have a beep?
Well, say the start of the letter.
It's the poop word.
The S word.
The S word, yes. Okay. It's so versatile.
It is. You're right. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Now, I'm going to put a caveat on this one. If actual ability is not taken into consideration.
No, it's not.
It's not. No. I would love to be a design engineer.
A design engineer.
Yeah.
What profession would you not like to do?
Any elected office.
Oh, that's good. That's funny. Yeah. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Good morning. See, anticlimactic, eh?
Anything else? Nothing? That's
good
it? Good morning.
I love sunrise, and for me, heaven is a perpetual sunrise.
Oh, that's beautiful.
See, that's good. It got better.
That's good. There you go. I wanted some explanation. That's good. Well, Jennifer, Coach Jen, thank you very much for answering all of these wonderful questions. You did a great job. We have really loved having you on Inside the Actress Studio.
I am
Jamie Lipton, and I'm signing off.
It's my honor. Now open it up to questions from our student body.
From the audience. Yeah, student audience here.
Not.
All right. Well, thanks, Jennifer.
See ya.
Glenn the Geek here. The life of horse person is hard enough, and we all hate doing the required paperwork, and unfortunately, many of us never get around to it, and it just piles up on our desk. That is about to change thanks to the Equisketch Records app for your iPhone or iPad. My wife and I use it to track our horses, and we absolutely love this thing. Equisketch Records is the most thorough and complete equestrian records app on the market today. We love this app because you can track your farrier work, your dental, your coggins, medicines, worming, and so much more. And you can get reminders on your device when all of these things are due. You'll never forget a worming or shots or farrier visit again. But it not only tracks your horse, you can also manage your horse shows, including individual events. You can manage riders, including lessons and memberships, and so much more. And you can sync it between your iPhone and your iPad, and all of this for the price of a couple of cups of coffee from Starbucks. Search for Equisketch Records in the iOS App Store or go to equisketch.com. That's EQUISKETCH.com. Equisketch.com.
Well, the tables are turned on my good friend, Glenn the Geek, and this week we have something different for you. In the same vein as Inside the Actor's Studio, James Lipton interviews very famous and achieved actors. Is that the word? Accomplished actors. I'm going to ask our good friend, Glenn.
Not that I'm accomplished at anything, but go ahead.
Series of questions that will dig a little bit into the person behind the persona that we all love and laugh at on Stable Scoop. You think you're ready for this, Glenn?
I don't know. With you asking the questions, I'm not sure. I had all those hosts to choose from, by the way, to interview me, and I chose you. And then I regretted it when I thought, why did you do that? Dumb. It's like, okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, let's see. And these are in no particular order, just whatever strikes me. So, how did you first meet? Now, Coach Jen is a big part of the Horse Radio Network and a very, 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 very special person to you. She is your wife. How did you first meet Jennifer?
You know, I've told this story maybe once or twice on the air before, but I met her at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. I was working there as the town crier and flirt. That was my official title. So my job, and this was at the very beginning of the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair when it was not nearly as big as it is now. Now they'll get 25 to 50,000 people in a weekend. It is absolutely one of the biggest in the country. Then it was maybe 2, 3,000 people in a weekend. And, you know, there were maybe 30 to 50 of us actors that did the show. And I was the loudest, which is how I got to be town crier. And it's basically true. Yeah. They said, boy, you're loud. And I said, well, I got a job for you. Here's a bell. So
it's a bell. Oh, my God. Gun with a bell.
I had a big bell, and I'd ring it and, you know, lead the procession, make way for the queen, all that stuff. And then my other job was to stand around at the gate and greet all the pretty girls that came in and kiss their hands and flirt and stuff. Well, I saw Jennifer for the first time. She was at the archery range, and she was wearing these very tight, bright yellow pants. So I saw her butt. Was the first thing I saw because she was shooting bows and arrows at the time. And I saw her from the back and I went, ooh, I got to meet her. And that's literally what I saw first. So I'm that shallow, yes. So I went up and wanted to see what the front looked like. So I went and said hi to her and everything. And we just kind of hit it off. She was a little snarky, but she's still snarky. So
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that.
She was a little snarky and like, who are you? And then I saw her later. She was there with her stepfather and her mother. And I saw them later in the day, you know, in town and chatted some more. And then one of my other jobs was in the parking lot on the way out. I had to stand in the dirt and the dust and wave to people as they left. A couple of us had that assignment. So we'd wave to people and, you know, yell things at them and stuff. And I saw her on the way out and she pulled up And she pulled up and said, I'm going to come back and see you next week. And I thought, yeah, right. You know, her dad. So I didn't really think much about it because we really did hear that from girls. You know, that was part of what
happened. I bet you did.
No, it really did happen. So, and I didn't think I'd ever see her again. Well, she showed up about almost closing time the next Saturday in costume that she had. And she worked at a full-time job in a barn at that point. It worked about 100 hours a week. And in the evenings, after she was done work at 9 o'clock, she sewed a Renaissance Fair costume. Out of just material and put it together herself on the sewing machine and wore it to the fair to come see me that next weekend. Now, the day was almost over, so I think we went out to maybe a quick dinner or something after she had to go because she had to work early the next morning. And then the next week, she came back again and at the beginning of the day the next week. So that's how I first met her. And then I asked her out and we went out on our first date. Funny, funny story about our first date. We were just talking about this. Her family was in this week in Florida and we were talking about this. I don't think they ever had heard this story before. She drove her dad's very old 1960s Jeep. And to the date we met in Harrisburg and because it was halfway between us. And we went out to a very nice, fancy dinner, French dinner and everything. And we come and we, you know, it was a very long French dinner. And we come back. It's like midnight because we had worked at the fair all day. We're both pretty tired. I had a hotel room because I didn't want to drive all the way back. It was like an hour and a half from home. And I said goodnight to her. She was going to drive home. And that was going to be it for whenever I'd see her again. And so I said goodnight to her outside. I don't think I even kissed her. I think there wasn't even a kiss involved. And I went into the hotel room, and she knew which hotel room, I guess, I was staying at. And about 10 minutes later, I hear this knock on the door, and it's Jennifer. And I said, at first, it scares the crap out of you because there's a knock on the door at midnight, right?
Yeah.
So it's Jennifer. I said, what's wrong? She said, I can't get the lights to work on my Jeep. So like a freaking idiot, I say, oh, let me get clothes on. I'll come out and help you get it started. Like a freaking idiot. So I actually do go outside like an idiot. I was such an idiot. And we determined that we couldn't get our lights working on our Jeep.
Why were you an idiot, though?
Because I should have just said, well, come on in, spend the night.
Oh!
What an idiot I am. So,
oh, no. See, that's romantic.
I was an idiot. I lost all my guy cred right there.
Yeah, well, you might have lost your guy cred, but you got yourself one heck of a woman.
So I said, well, what do you want to do? I'll drive you home. So I offered to drive her home an hour and a half the other way. And then, you know, they're a second idiot thing.
Yeah, that's kind of idiotic.
She mentioned about, she said, why didn't I just stay? I don't want you driving that late. So she stayed. And that was the first time we spent the night together.
Yay! Oh!
And then she got violently ill the next day from the French food we ate. I mean, violently ill the next day.
Oh, so, no. Yes. Oh, my God. That's horrible.
She did. It was like food poisoning times 10.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so
that happened to me once, too. On a
after
date,
our
you're like,
first
oh, that's
date,
nice.
She gets violently ill.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I feel so attractive. Want to kiss me now?
I did have to drive her home then, actually. And then we found out that the lights thing was one switch because this truck had a plow, and there was a switch that you could turn on and off that would control the lights when the plow was hooked up. And all we had to do was flip that switch, and she would have been able to drive home. That's what we found out.
All right. We got to get on with this list. Sorry. I love the story. See, I could keep picking your brain about this particular story all night long. All right. What is or was your favorite TV show of all time?
That's easy. Hands down, MASH. Absolutely love MASH. And part of the reason I like MASH is because my dad would watch it with us. And I just love MASH. To this day, I watch MASH reruns. I can watch a MASH rerun 100 times.
Aww.
Love that show.
MASH reruns. Yeah, I used to watch that with my dad, too. I never really understood too much of it but until, you know, you got older. But it was a good show. Really good show. Okay. What's the favorite place that you've ever traveled to?
That's easy too. And it's going to sound corny, but it's true. To Disney World with Jennifer, because we used to go, literally we liked it so much after the first time we went to Disney World, which was probably, you know, a couple years into our relationship, that we went back every year. So we literally went to Disney World every year for like 10 or 12 years in a row. So I definitely hate Disney World with Jennifer.
Okay. And
we still go, by the way, all the time. Have season passes.
You do. You guys, it's a, your favorite place to go.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. What was the first car you ever owned?
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
Now, my mom and dad made us buy our own cars. So we had to save our pennies from working and everything to buy our own cars. And I ended up with a wonderful AMC. By the way, that was American Motors Company, for those people that don't remember it, because it went out of business about 25 years ago. AMC Gremlin.
Oh, God. Yeah, you shouldn't have said.
A dark blue AMC Gremlin. And no, nobody
At least
ever...
it was dark blue and not like pea green.
Yeah, they made those.
Yeah, I know.
Pea green ones. And yes, it was a horrible car. It was awful. The transmission... I brought a used car dealer. It was a 10-mile drive home, and the transmission literally fell out of the car on my way home.
Oh.
Literally. Yes. Had to call my dad to come and get me.
Yeah, see, where everybody, I think, needed to call their mom or dad to come get them at some point because something fell out of the bottom of their car.
Literally, an AMC Gremlin, for those that don't know, look it up. It was one of the, it's been ranked in the top five ugliest cars of all time. Yeah. And if you got hit from behind, you
were
dead.
Right next to the Dodge Duster or the Dart.
That's right.
I don't know which is ugly, the Duster or the Dart.
And literally, if you got hit from behind, you would die in a fiery explosion. Because the gas tank was back there. So, okay, go ahead. Let's go on from that horrible memory.
Okay. And this one I really want to know. What was the worst trouble you got into growing up?
It may not sound like much, but boy, it sticks with me to this day. I got in some, just minor trouble. Never arrested for anything, but I was pretty much one of the good kids. But my brother and I, my dad had a hernia operation. And back in those days, you were out of work for like 6 weeks, right? I mean, it was major back then. And he needed something to do because he couldn't sit still very well. So we got him one of those great big Ironside ship models, plastic models that you built and you painted. And this one had all the rigging, like thousands of little rigging wires for the sails and all that stuff. And it was the Constellation. It was one of those big ship models. It was like 3 feet long when he was done. He spent the entire 6 weeks every day for like 8 hours a day putting the ship model together. It was absolutely beautiful. He painted everything. It was beautiful. Put it on top of the one cabinet in the TV room. My brother and I were having a fight one day, my younger brother. We were probably 6, 8 years old. Now you can guess what happens, right? Mm-hmm. We start throwing things at each other, and one of the pillows ends up hitting the ship model and breaking it.
Oh, God.
And my mother hit the roof, and then my dad got home, and he was just, he didn't yell and scream. He was not but you could see the just total dejection on his face.
Oh.
And I remember that to this day. That has stuck with me. It's one of the things I remember as a kid. And I don't remember a lot because my Lyme disease took a lot of that away. But I remember that.
Oh.
Yeah.
You heal.
I know. You wish now I had said I got arrested for like something stupid.
All right. Another question for you. What is your favorite color?
Maroon. I love maroon.
Maroon?
Yeah, I like maroon. I don't like red so much. I don't like pink. I like maroon. Dark maroon.
Would you wear like a maroon shirt?
Yes, I like maroon. I own maroon shirts.
Would you wear maroon pants? How much do you like
maroon? Depends which disco I was going to.
Well, okay, so for all intents and purposes, that's a yes. It's just where you are. So yes, Glenn the Geek wears maroon pants. That's all anybody needs to know out of this conversation.
If it wasn't so dark, I would paint my office or the studio here maroon, but it's kind of dark. So,
all right, maroon.
Yep.
What was the first job you ever had?
I worked as a dishwasher at Zinn's Diner in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, right along the turnpike. Anybody that's driving through there at midnight knows Zinn's Diner because it was open 24 hours and it was a place you went. And I worked as a dishwasher there for 2 years, and then I worked for 2 years as a short order cook. And it was the 11 to 7 overnight shift. So, and that was always busy. Zinn's Diner had buses and they used to come in. We had lines at 3 in the morning. They were mostly drunk, but they were there. And so there would be times at 3 in the morning, I would literally have 40 to 50 overlight eggs on the grill at the same time. We had one grill, that was 8 foot long, dedicated to just pancakes. And there was,
oh, yum.
There was one guy that would make pancakes, and that entire 8 foot long grill would be filled with pancakes, and that was an entire job for an 8 hour shift was making pancakes.
Oh, that's almost as good as making donuts. Wow.
That was a busy place. Yeah.
And how long did you last there?
I worked there for a total of 4 years.
That's a long time. How old were you?
It was all through high school, and then a year after high school, or like 6 months after high school, I worked there too.
That's a long time. You must have enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. I actually did like doing that. It was high stress because we were all, I mean, you never had downtime.
Yeah, yeah.
Most restaurants, you know, cooks get some downtime here and there, but you never had it at Zinsteiner. It's not there anymore. Zinsteiner's gone.
Oh, what kind of gone? Did it burn down? Did it close?
It closed. I don't know. The family, you know, Zins, they were run by Zins for 50 years. The son took over when I was there, became the general manager, and he was a total jerk, and I just knew it was going to go there, mm-hmm. and it did. You know, eventually he ran it into the ground. But Zins Diner, everybody that will know that, that's been that part of the turnpike. You've all eaten there.
Okay. Who is your favorite musical group?
I know this one. Do you know it?
You were going to say it. That was it. I was going to say it. Yeah.
TSO, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, by hands down. Yep.
And you and Jennifer go to see that whenever you possibly can.
Yes, we do. We see it almost every Christmas. Yep. Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And that ain't your mama's orchestra, people.
No, it's not. It's cool. I would totally say it's hip. It's it's not geeky.
It's heavy metal is what it is, really.
It really is. It's so geeky, it's not geeky. It's cool.
Love it.
Okay, TSO. And what's your favorite movie of all time?
Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, God, Glenn.
I love the Muppet Christmas Carol. We watch it every single year. I still I have it. Yeah, we watch it every year.
Yeah, oh, goodness. Right.
And I just admitted that out loud.
Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, you did.
Well, right. Man cred I didn't lose earlier, I have now lost totally. So,
So now we get on to the speed round. And these are the 10 questions that James Lipton asks every actor on Inside the Actor's Studio. So here we go. What is your favorite word?
Entrepreneur.
What is your least favorite word?
The swear word that starts with MF.
Oh, that's your least favorite word?
Yeah, I don't like that word.
That's one of my favorites.
I don't like that word.
What turns you on?
It's going to sound corny, but spending non-working time with my wife.
Aww.
You know, we've been married. And that's just not a cliche either. I really
it's
do.
It's not. No. I can vouch for
do
that.
You know, we had one of the coolest things happen this week. I told you that Jennifer's family was in a good, there were like 8 of them, and including some of our nieces that are in their 20s. And we were down visiting them at the beach. They stay at the beach. And, you know, we were spending the day. It was raining outside. We were in their condo-like room. And at one point, I guess, I hugged Jennifer and gave her a kiss in the kitchen. You know, we just got done playing cards or whatever. And one of the nieces said to me later, she said, that was the coolest thing is that you two, after all this time, still do that.
Aww.
I thought that was kind of special, I thought.
Yeah. Love. See, that was my favorite word.
It was. Yes, it was.
Yep. Okay. What turns you off?
The feel of wool. I hate wool. I cannot wear wool. I cannot touch wool. When Jennifer wears wool, we do not hug or touch.
No kissing, no hugging.
I can't stand to touch wool.
It's all scratchy.
Ugh, can't stand it.
What sound or noise do you love?
Horses eating at night, feeding just in the barn, just before you turn the lights out. You're all done for the day. The horses are all in eating. It's very quiet. You know you're done for the day, and you finally get to go in the house. I love that sound.
And everybody's happy, and everybody's eating. That's a really nice sound. I like that. I like that. On the contrary, what is a sound or noise that you hate?
I'm going to sound like an old fogey here. Rap music from a car from 2 blocks away.
Okay. You do kind of sound like an old fogey.
I can't stand that thumping.
All right. Just the kind that makes your chest go boom, boom,
yes,
boom,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, you got to think of the person who's sitting in the car.
Like, I know. How do they have any hearing left?
Or irreversible liver damage or something. Yes, I don't know. Like, that's got to get more than just your ears.
I think right now is a good time to go into the hearing aid business, because in about another 10 years, when these people have listened to rap for 10 years, you're going to be very busy.
10 years. Rap's been around for like 30, baby. I know. I don't know where you've been.
Hearing aid people must be doing a bang-up job.
Well, what about, you know, Pete Townsend and all those other old time British rockers who stood in front of huge amps
or
on
TSO
stage
for that matter.
Talk about, or TSO. So, yeah. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. All right. What is your favorite curse word?
Damn it.
Yeah, that is.
I say it all the time. Yeah, if it's not, it's the S word. But I've said the S word a couple times on the shows, but damn, it's my favorite.
Yeah, that one works. You use it very well in content.
And it's a light, it probably goes in the category of light curse word, but I do say it a lot.
Well, it's just like, see, again, curses are like candy. There's like M&Ms and then there's big fat chocolate bars. You know, pop a couple of M&Ms and you're good.
Yeah.
But you sit down with like a big butcher knife and that like that chunk of like really good chocolate. Like comes in, you know, like mountains.
Yep.
Yeah, that's more like the MF word. Okay. What profession, other than your current profession, would you like to attempt?
It's on my bucket list. I want to be the guy that drives the carriage at Disney World.
Oh, you would be so good at that.
You know how they have the horse comes down Main Street with the big wagon there.
Why don't you do that?
I want to, because it pays about $5 an hour. So
what? You could do it like when you're, you know, retired.
When I'm old. Yeah, that's right. When I'm old, that's what I want to do. I want to be the guy who drives the carriage.
Is the guy who drives the carriage now old?
No, he's not old. No, then that's the other thing. It's kind of hard to get the job because there's like two of them. So
I know. It's probably some kind of like a legacy thing too.
Or, you know, the next best thing would be to go to Mackinac Island and be one of the carriage people at Mackinac Island.
I thought about that, but that, you know.
That'd be kind of cool.
Why don't you just go to like...
Or Williamsburg. You know, one of those places.
Williamsburg. Yeah. See, now that would be perfect for me because the temperature is mild and it's near the ocean and it's historic and there's carriages there.
Yeah, it has everything I like. So
and it's close to Hunt Country. Let's go there. Let's all move to Williamsburg.
Let's go to Williamsburg.
The Horse Radio Network moves to Williamsburg, Virginia. Okay. What profession would you not like to do?
I don't want to be a Sherpa on Mount Everest.
As if.
It's just like too much exercise and crap.
Too much exercise? You mean too much risk of death?
Yeah, risk of death. Actual work. No, I don't want that.
Well, of course you wouldn't want. I'm not letting you get away with that one. Give me something else. A profession that that you could do, but you would not like to.
I think about it every time the garbage man comes. I could not be a garbage man. How do they all that smells?
I know.
I don't know. God bless everybody who does it, because I don't know how you do it.
Do you have a sensitive sense of smell? Like this?
Yes, I have a very good sniffer, and I just couldn't do it. Okay. Speaking of which, I got to put the garbage out tonight. Thank you.
All right. Now, last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Welcome, geeks this way to the game room.
Geeks this way to the game room.
I could sit there and play video games for the rest of my time.
Oh, okay. You are Glenn the Geek.